Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. Today on the Bible Bus, we're marching through the book of Numbers. Why do I say marching? Well, because that's literally what the children of Israel were doing. Silver trumpets were blown seven times, Moses and Aaron led the way out front, and they marched eastward. That's what's ahead of us in our study of Numbers chapter 10. Now, in addition to the great instruction that we'll learn from our study in Numbers 10, I really appreciate how Dr. McGee relates it to us today. Let me quote something that you'll hear in this broadcast, by the way. I'm reading this from Dr. McGee's paperback commentary on Numbers. He says, "Like the children of Israel, we are strangers and pilgrims going through this world today. We are in a wilderness here, but we are on the way to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our invitation is the same as Moses gave. Come with us. If you're not a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, you may join the party." It's a great one, by the way, as we are marching to go into the presence of Jesus Christ. We're not a group that is marching because we are better than anyone else. We are sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. If you see yourself as a sinner and you need a Savior, then turn to Him by simple faith and trust Him. Join the march. There is no protest march. It's a salvation march, a redemption march. I really appreciate Dr. McGee's invitation. That's all ahead of us today. As you find Numbers 10 in your Bible, we've got time for one or two letters. This first one comes from a friend in Golden, Colorado, who writes, "Thank you for keeping the Bible Bus running on time and never missing a stop. I listen regularly to your MP3 podcast during my one-hour commute via train and bus. It's helped me keep up with the study without missing a single study and to do it at my own pace." And then here's a letter. This is from Sue. She lives not too far from our offices in Pasadena. She's in Long Beach, California. And she says, "I enjoy the Bible Bus very much. I listen faithfully every day and am learning so much how God has love and patience and won't desert us. I especially appreciate I can listen online when I miss a day. Kudos on your new website. It's terrific. What a wonderful blessing you bring to us all. I support your program as much as I can, and I am glad for the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing around the world. I am so glad I know Jesus and appreciate what God does for all of us." Yes, me too, Sue. So let's thank Him and ask Him for help today. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and grace. It's so obvious when you look for it. Use Your Word now to teach us, to comfort us through Your Spirit, and to convict us of whatever is keeping us from Your best. In Jesus' name we pray. Confident that You hear us, Lord. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come to this 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, and we have here the instructions concerning the making of two silver trumpets. And I'd like to read this section here because we are going to see them begin the wilderness march now, beginning with verse 11. And the last thing that's given are the trumpets for the wilderness march. And notice how they are to be used. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver." Now, two is the number of witness, as you know. It's in the mouth of two witnesses a matter is established. Now, these two trumpets were used to move Israel on the wilderness march. And it says, "Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves together to thee." Now the blowing of one trumpet brought the princes together. Now, there's to be a last trump for the church, and that last trump is the voice of Christ, I believe. It'll be His last call. He's sent out invitation after invitation. His last invitation to a Laodicean church is, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And then the last one, the last trump, he calls his church out of the world. And that'll be the last call. Now here, that one single trumpet, that's the Lord Jesus, brings the princes together. That's bringing them together, and that's the rapture of the church. Now he says, "When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And then it's to be used in going to war." Verse 9, "And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets." I think that's what the children of Israel blew when they went around the city of Jericho. And then verse 10, the fourth use of them, "Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets." In other words, they denoted certain segments of time and particular occasions that were to be observed. Now these silver trumpets, made of silver, and that is the metal of redemption. This is the redemption call, if you please, and it's a call for redeemed people. And this was the way God moved them on the wilderness march. And that's the way the trumpets were used for the most part here. Blow an alarm the second time, the camps lie on the south side. Blow again, then the camp that lies on the north side, and so on, till they get on the wilderness march. Now, beginning here at verse 11 through the rest of the chapter, you have them lined up for the wilderness march. And if you have now our notes and outlines, you'll note that I have on one page the order by which they marched is given. I want to go over that with you because that's given in this chapter. And then we have on the other side how Israel encamped on the wilderness march. They camped about the tabernacle. Now, let me just read one or two verses and then we'll get to this. Verse 11, "It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness." Now, they've been almost 2 years at Sinai getting the law. Now, instructions for the silver trumpets are given, and the trumpets have been made, and they're blown. And now we find that the children of Israel begin the wilderness march. Now this becomes very detailed here, and I think I can just take this chart that we have here, and I could only wish all of you have a chart, but I think you can follow us. Now when the children of Israel were in camp, they encamped about the tabernacle, and the three families of Levi, they were immediately around the tabernacle. To the north was Merari, to the south was Kohath, and back to the west was Gershon. And out in front was Aaron and Moses to the east. Now the camps of the 12 tribes were out beyond that. And you have Judah and Issachar and Zebulun way out in the east. And then you have Dan and Naphtali and Asher. They are to the north, and to the south, Reuben, and Simeon, and Gad. And then to the west, you have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. All right, now, this is the thing that happens. Early in the morning, the children of Israel strike camp because the pillar of cloud lifted. Now they've all packed their things. The tabernacle has been taken down. So what do they do first? Well, Moses and Aaron are out in front watching, and the time now has come to move. And what happens? Why, Moses and Aaron give the signal, and the trumpets are blown. It's an alarm. And what happens? The ark comes around, and the ones of the family of Kohath that are carrying the ark, why, they move out in front, for the ark leads on the wilderness march. Christ is to lead his church through the wilderness of this world, you see. And that ark, by the way, speaks of him. So the trumpet now is blown one time. And that's got Moses, Aaron, and the ark out in front. Now it blows the second time, and Judah moves out because they are in the east, and they are always moving toward the east, you see. That's always the direction that they move out from and then take their course as they get in the line of march. Issachar and Zebulun march with Judah. And then after that, Gershon and Merari are bearing their part of the tabernacle. And they've got quite a bit of the heavy stuff, let's say, the boards, the bars, and they have all of the coverings. These two families carried that, and now they're in their place. Then the trumpet blows the fourth time, and Reuben, bearing his standard, and Simeon, Gad, marching under it, they move out. And then the trumpet sounds again, and the Kohathites, they're carrying all the articles of furniture now, except the ark, which has gone ahead. And they are bearing the other six articles of furniture, and they move out. And because the tabernacle is to be carried on the shoulders of the children of Israel. Then the trumpet sounds the sixth time, and the tribe of Ephraim. And when the tribe of Ephraim moves out, why, Manasseh and Benjamin are marching with it. Then we have the last one, that's the tribe of Dan, and the trumpet's blown, and their standard moves out, and Asher and Naphtali fall under and march after it. Then after that, there is this mixed multitude. Now, this mixed multitude are just a group of folk that we saw before. They didn't know whether they were Israelites or they didn't know whether they were Egyptians. They didn't know whether to go or to stay. And they are really a mixed multitude. Each one's mixed up. One would have a father who was an Egyptian, a mother who's an Israelite, or the other way around. And as a result, well, they didn't know whether to stay with Papa or Mama. But they came along on the wilderness march, and they are stragglers. They're bringing up the rear, if you please. Now, this is the wilderness march. Did you notice that the trumpet blew seven times, and that's what put them on the wilderness march? I wonder if you've noticed something here, that in the book of Revelation, you have the blowing of seven trumpets, and those seven trumpets are connected with the children of Israel, and it'll take the blowing of those seven trumpets in the great tribulation period. And God will have moved the children of Israel from all corners of the earth back into that land, just as he's moving them here. The trumpets are connected with the children of Israel, if you please. There are a great many people like to take that last trump that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians and associate it with the last trump in Revelation, and then draw from that that the church is going through the great tribulation period. Well, where do you get that? The last trump in Revelation is the voice of the Son of God. Well, you have that in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's descending with a shout. His voice is like the voice of an archangel, and his voice is like the sound of a trumpet. You say to me, how do you know his voice is like the sound of a trumpet? Because Revelation 1:10 says, John says, I heard a voice like a sound of a trumpet, and I turned to see. And you know who he saw? He saw the glorified Christ, our great high priest. So his voice is like a trumpet. And that's the trumpet that's going to raise the dead and change the living of those that are his, that are in the church. No trumpet is connected with the church. The trumpets are connected with the children of Israel. And it's the trumpets that move them on the wilderness march. And here you have it. It's the trumpets that'll bring them from the wilderness world all back into that land. Now, this all has a very wonderful spiritual lesson for us, because as they marched on the way, they met Moses' father-in-law. Now, we've heard about mother-in-law jokes, but I don't think I ever heard of a father-in-law joke. But here's one here, and it's not such a joke after all, but I want you to notice it. I'm turning now to verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Now, that's a beautiful passage right there, and it's too bad Moses didn't stop with that, but he didn't, and we'll see that in just a minute. But that's the picture of the church also today. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world today. We're strangers here. This is a wilderness we're in. I guess many of God's children think they're in a paradise. They think they're back in the Garden of Eden. But we're marching through a wilderness today, and we're on the way to to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be in His presence someday. Now, our invitation is the invitation Moses gave, come and go with us. And if you're listening to me today and you're not a child of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, you can join the party. It's a great one, by the way. And we're marching. We're on the way to go into the presence of Christ. We're not a group that are marching because we're better than anyone else, because we're not. We're sinners. Sinners saved by the grace of God. And if you see yourself as a sinner and you need a Savior, turn to Him by simple faith. Trust Him. Join the march. Now, there are a great many people who want to march today. Here's a march I'd like to get you in on, by the way. This is a good one. It's no protest. It's a salvation march. It's redemption march. It's the march that we are marching to Zion, not earthly Zion, but a heavenly, the city of Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven, adorned like a bride for the bridegroom. Now, Moses, though, kept on talking, and he said something maybe he shouldn't have said. He said unto him, I'll not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And Moses' father-in-law, old Hobab, says, I don't want to go with you. That's a typical father-in-law for you, isn't it? And that's not quite a good father-in-law joke, but the old man said, I won't go with you. I don't want to go with you. I'm going home. And notice, though, what Moses said. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And I want to say to you right here that I don't quite understand Moses. Hasn't God made it clear to Moses that the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and that that ark was leading them? All of that speaks of Christ, and that He's the leader. And now Moses is suggesting to his own father-in-law, he's saying to him, you come and go along with us and be eyes. The old man had been raised in that desert of Midian. He was a Midianite. He knew that area. He could have been a great help, I'm sure. But you see, they're not to depend on natural means. This old man doesn't know the way God wants them to go. And unfortunately today, the church is listening to the voice of the world today. The church is listening to the voice of experts today. The church is listening to the men who have no really spiritual discernment. And as a result, church is being led down the garden path today and being brought in many places to a very sad place. What a responsibility rests upon church leaders, ministers, church officers. Are you sure you have the mind of the Lord? Are you sure Christ is the head of the church? Are you sure that He's leading you and guiding you? Or today, are you saying to some man, come and be eyes for us. I want to listen to you and not listen to the Lord. How tragic it is to see that. And Moses made a mistake here, friends, in doing this. Moses could make mistakes, by the way. And the interesting thing is he could record them here. If some of us had made these mistakes, we wouldn't have mentioned these things. Now, will you notice? It shall be, if thou go with us, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. Now, God was leading them, you see, and He's making it clear to them that He was searching out the land. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them a day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. This was the ritual, apparently, that Moses followed of a morning and again of an evening when they were on the wilderness march. Now the children of Israel have left Mount Sinai. They're beginning now the wilderness march that should have taken them only actually days to have gotten into the land. But it ended up by them spending years in the wilderness. And here's the first thing that rose that caused them a certain amount of problem. And I'll be just able to get down into this. And this, again, is something to me that's quite humorous. However, it's a pretty serious sort of a thing. Now, will you notice? And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Every time the people complained, the glory of the Lord appeared. He was displeased with their groaning and complaining. I'm of the opinion he's displeased with many of these criticizing, complaining saints today that are everlastingly finding fault, and nothing seems to please them. God doesn't want it that way for you, friends. He wants you to be a happy, joyful Christian. Now the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now they began to complain. What's back of all of this complaint? Who were the troublemakers? Well, here they are, and we can locate them, and we'll just be able to locate them today. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now they're beginning to complain. They're beginning to find fault. And who is it that started it all? Well, the mixed multitude. Now you remember the mixed multitude were those who were not sure who they were. They couldn't go up and join one of the tribes. They couldn't declare their pedigree. They weren't sure. And they weren't sure whether they should go on the wilderness march or not. After all, each one of them had a father or a mother down in Egypt, or a father and mother in the camp of Israel. They'd been this intermarriage. They're a mixed multitude. And they are just enough Egyptian to like Egypt. And they're just enough Israelites to want to go on the wilderness march. And you know, we've got our churches filled with people like that today. There are people that, yes, they want to mix with church people. They like to hear a good sermon. They want to go to church on Sunday. They want to live an upstanding life, they say. They want to be moral people. And so they've joined the church. They want to be with that crowd. But during the week, friends, they want to run with the world. They're a mixed multitude. They're with Egypt 6 days during the week and with the church 1 day a week. They're not quite sure really where they do belong. They're not sure of their salvation, that is for sure. And I have discovered over a period of many years as a pastor, and I can say this now that I'm no longer a pastor, I've discovered that the real troublemakers in any church today are the mixed multitude. They actually are going with the world, and they're going with the church people. They like to have a church banquet, but they don't want Bible study, you know. That's getting too close to the ark. They want to stay way back, you know. They're not sure but what they might turn and go back sometime. They're never quite clear. They're never happy when you're having a real time of spiritual blessing. They're uncomfortable there. And they're uncomfortable with the world. They just don't seem to fit in. They're a square peg in a round hole. And they just don't seem to fit. And they're generally troublemakers. Now here, this crowd, they fell a-lusting. And what was it you think that they wanted? I'll just have time to mention this, and we're going to deal with this next time. Listen to this. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Boy, what they liked. Everything they liked was a condiment, except fish, of course. And you can't catch many fish out in that wilderness. Weren't many lakes out there then. And these people weren't eating fish. But boy, had they had fish down in Egypt, all the fish they wanted. And I'm of the opinion they got pretty tired of fish down there. But now that's what they remember. And they remember, notice, cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. And everything they liked either grew on the ground or in the ground. Boy, they did like it down like that. That was sort of like root hog or die. They were the kind that wanted the worldly, earthly things. And that's what started all the complaint. They didn't like Bible study, I can tell you that. All right. I'm going to leave off right there today, and I'm going to pick right up there next time.
All that is too familiar, isn't it? Next week, we'll pick up right there in Numbers chapter 11. Earlier in the program, I read you a section from Dr. McGee's commentary on the book of Numbers. I wanted to mention to you that this month, Dr. McGee's commentary is available at a special discount. And that's true of every individual commentary, by the way. Once we get to that book in the study, we make a paperback commentary available at a discount. You can collect them all that way, one by one, as the Bible Bus moves through Scripture. Well, that said, you can also purchase all the collected commentaries in 5 hardback volumes. That's what I have on my shelf. That's what you often hear fellow Bible Bus writers also mention as invaluable in their personal study time. These resources are available in our online store at ttb.org or by calling us at 1-800-652-4253. You can also ask for a resource catalog. You'll also benefit from the notes and outlines and the study guides for each book online at ttb.org. Now, Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon this weekend is titled Forward March. Great encouragement for next week's continuing march through Numbers. Well, that's all for now. God bless you as you walk with Him this week.
Up to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.